بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. In the beginning, I would like to felicitate you on the occasion of the Feast of Qadir, which is an important part of the identity of the Shia, of the Ahlul Bayt, or household of a Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Shia men and women over the centuries by honoring this day and this occasion and this event have preserved and felt their identity. Once again, congratulations to all of you, the audience and the faithful people of Iran and the world of Islam on this occasion. I would like to welcome honorable sisters and brothers, particularly dear sisters and brothers who have come from faraway cities to this place, and also would like to welcome the family members of the martyrs. The issue of Qadir is among the issues thinking about which will help the Islamic community today, particularly the Iranian people and our country, to find the proper path and not to lose the right path. There are a few points about the event of Qadir that I would like to mention today. One point is the event itself. The world of Islam, during the time of Prophet Muhammad, which had to some extent expanded, witnessed an important point, that was announcement of successors to Prophet Muhammad and Imam Ali's successor. The Qadir event has not been only mentioned or narrated by the transmitters of Hadith by Shias, rather a number of Sunni transmitters of Hadith have narrated this. However, the understanding may be different from that of us, but the event itself is among the definite issues among the Muslims. This event, which was determination of a successor to Prophet Muhammad, happened in the few last months of the life of the Holy Prophet, about 70 days to the demise of Prophet Muhammad. In its truth, Qadir shows the issue of government, politics, and wilaya, and guardianship of the issues of the Muslim Ummah in Islamic viewpoint. Our Imam and before him a number of jurisprudents emphasized on the unity of or inseparability of religion and politics and the significance of the role of government in religion. The root of this emphasis is in Islamic teachings, and particularly in the great lesson we can take from Qadir. It underlines the significance of the issue. All the people who understand this conclusion from the event of Qadir, that is with the Shias, and many non-Shias infer the same thing from the event of Qadir. And therefore we must be careful that in all stages of the history of Islam, the issue of government has been a fundamental, crucial and first-rate issue in Islam. In fact, the issue of government and governorship cannot be neglected or overlooked. We cannot be indifferent to this issue. And the role of governments in guiding or misguiding the people is very important. A man's experience has proven this. The fact that the Islamic Republic system emphasis is laid either in the constitution or in other documents on the management of the Islamic country is because of the roots, very deep roots, that the government has in Islam. So we should not overlook this. The second point on the side of the first point is during the Qadir event, the Prophet of Islam introduced the commander of the faithful, Ali bin Abi Talib, peace be upon him, as his successor. The characteristics that Imam Ali had are very important as criteria for all of us. The commander of the faithful had many characteristics. The first one was commitment to divine pleasure and consent of God and moving in the straight path regardless of the difficulties. Whatever struggle it required, whatever magnanimity it required, he didn't mind it. This is the most important characteristics of the commander of the faithful. The commander of the faithful is one who, for the sake of God and in the way of God, since his childhood through the moment of martyrdom, spared no efforts and did not spare effort in even in a single event. He never hesitated. And by all his being, he was in the service of God. When he had to propagate, he did so. And when he had to draw the sword and fight on the side of Prophet Muhammad, he did so. And he did not fear death. And when it was necessary to be patient, he was. And when it was necessary to take the helm of power, he did so and entered the scene of politics. And in all those different stages, whatever was necessary and whatever sacrifice it required, he just offered. The Holy Prophet had such a person, or had appointed such a person at the top of the Islamic society. It is a lesson for the Islamic Ummah. It is not merely a historical event belonging to the past centuries. It shows that in order to run the Islamic society and the Islamic societies and the Islamic Ummah, there are certain criteria that I mentioned. Just worshipping God, struggling for the consent of God, sacrificing life and property in this way, not fearing any difficulty or problem, and also not paying attention to the worldly materials. He is at the peak. Imam Ali is at the peak. It is an index indeed. It's the great lesson of Qadir. Just see the Islamic world and the Islamic governments and look at the world and the political managements across the world and see what a great gap exists between what Islam has introduced to mankind and what exists in the reality today. The blow dealt on man is mainly from this part. Islam has introduced a management, just like management of Imam Ali for the management of the society. Of course, the commander of the faithful was the disciple and follower of Prophet Muhammad. Imam Ali himself, when was said that you are an aesthetic or a virtuous person, he said, "My virtuousness is not a contrast for that of Prophet Muhammad." Imam Ali was the outstanding disciple of the Messenger of God, and he deserves fellowship. All of us should consider him as a role model, not only for our country, but for the world of Islam. This is the expectation. Such a great person who didn't pay attention to the worldly ornamentations and was ready to sacrifice in the way of Allah and in the way of truth. It is such a person who can, in fact, rescue the human societies. He doesn't surrender to carnal desires and personal interests. Personal interests do not overcome him and do not make him surrender to bad events, to catastrophes. We emphasize that the Islamic Republic of Iran is a new message for the world. Let me give you an example. This is the example. Today, see the level of life across the world. The heads of the states, the political managers of the countries. Which of them is ready to forego personal interests? Where there is an interest available to them and they can use it, they will not forego that. Which of them is ready to sacrifice their life in the way of interests of their nation and their country? Which of them is ready to trample upon formalities or taking the formalities into consideration? Today, the great shortcoming of human beings is the shortcoming of such personalities. And Islam has introduced a sublime example to the mankind. Of course, it is clear that achieving that peak, that summit, is not within the capability of ordinary person. No one can live like Imam Ali. It is an impossible wish. But the summit shows the direction to us. We have to move towards that summit. We have to just try to become similar to him and get close to him. This is the great shortcoming of mankind today. This is an important point which lies in the event of Qadir. So this is another issue, in fact. We have to pay attention to this point. The message of Qadir is the message of the example of Islamic government, model of Islamic government. A man who, in the way of God, is so strict to the enemies because of God, but at the same time is so humble and kind to the weak person. He's so tolerant, patient, that no one would believe that this is the same commander of the faithful. When Imam Ali entered Kufa and the people did not know him well, his conduct, mode of conduct, his way of clothing, his behavior was so that no one would recognize him when he was passing on the streets and lanes. And no one would recognize that such a great person is the same man who is just moving around among the people, among the ordinary people. He is so humble and tolerant and patient. The same man who, against powerful enemies, bullying enemies, is so firm, just like a mountain. He is a role model for all of us. Another point about Ghadir. The issue of Ghadir for the Shias is the foundation of the Shia belief. We believe that after the sacred existence of the Holy Prophet of Islam, the right Imam for the Islamic Ummah was Imam Ali. It was the foundation and essence of the Shia belief. It is clear that our Sunni brothers do not accept this idea. They have another viewpoint and think differently. But this is an index for us. However, the same event of Ghadir at a certain point is a means for unity of the Muslims. That is the personality of Imam Ali. Indeed, there are no differences among the Muslims regarding the personality of this sublime personality. Imam Ali is considered at the peak and summit by all the Muslims. This is the place that he enjoys regarding his knowledge, courage, virtue, and all accept this. That is, he is a crossing point of all the viewpoints of all the Muslims. What we have to pay attention to today is that Shias consider this viewpoint or this idea as a precious soul for itself during the centuries, despite the animosities and hostilities that you know, a lot of inequities, unfairness, pressures, suppression, oppression. But Shias preserved this idea and promoted the teachings of Shia jurisprudence, theology, civilization, thought, and the ideas of the great figures of Islam are bright in the history of Islam. Therefore, this is the idea that has been preserved and will be preserved by the Shias. But please bear in mind that this viewpoint should not become a point for conflict and differences. We have mentioned this point for years and repeated it and repeated again. And we see that the enemy, what intention and what nasty objective the enemy has in creating differences among the Islamic Ummah under different titles, including Shia and Sunni differences. We know what is the objective, what is the intention. The enemy means the enemy of Islam, the enemy of the Quran, the enemy of the common points between Muslims, the enemy of monotheism, not the enemy of a chunk of Islam. the enemy tries to create division and hostility among the Muslims within the Ummah. The enemy realizes that unity is Islam in Islamic Ummah is to its detriment. The enemy realizes this. The enemy witnessed that when Islamic Revolution achieved victory, the light of this revolution, in fact, in the Islamic countries and in the Islamic Ummah, won the attention of the hearts. While they were not Shias, millions of Sunni brothers in Arab countries, in African countries, in Asian countries were attracted by the revolution, and therefore the enemy received the blow. The enemy, in fact, is worried about the attention of the hearts of the Muslims to Islamic Republic of Iran. Therefore, the enemy wants to destroy this attention. How? Through creating hostilities between the Sunnis and Shias. Today, one of the important policies of the arrogant powers in our region, besides other hostilities that they have against us, one of the policies is, in fact, to win the support of the heads of some of the Arab countries and pit them against the Islamic Republic of Iran, against the Iranian nation, regarding different points, regarding nuclear issue and other issues, many different issues. They hold sessions, they sit together, they deal, they hatch plots. And the U.S. asks some of the Arab countries what share you are ready to pay in confrontation with Iran. So they are trying to create hostility. What the enemy can do in political sessions and circles and decision makings is, in fact, to pit the Arab or Muslim leaders against the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is what they can do, nothing more than that. But they cannot change the heart of the people. They are attracted to Islamic Republic of Iran, the heart of the Arab people, the heart of the people of the Muslim countries, the heart of the Palestinian people, the heart of the Iraqi people are with Iran. They cannot change it. Maximum that they can do is to change it, to pit the Islamic governments against the Islamic Republic of Iran. And of course, the government have their own considerations. They are not ready to fully just surrender to the Zionists and the arrogant powers in this regard. However, but they cannot influence the hearts of the people. What influences the hearts of the people? What can really disenchant the hearts of the people from the Islamic Republic of Iran is religious bigotism and differences. Yes, this can do so. We have to be mindful of that. We have to be mindful. All are responsible to be careful. In the Shia world, they just write books, levy accusation against the Sunni brothers, and in the Sunni brothers they do so against the Shias. It will not convert any Shia to Sunni and any Sunni to Shiism. Those who like all the Muslim people love the household of the Prophet Muhammad should bear in mind that by accusation, insultation, and hostility, they cannot convert anybody to Shiism, to Shia, and just make them love the household of the Holy Prophet. Creation of hostility, creation of differences will lead to animosity. And this animosity and hostility is what today the U.S. wants, the Zionists want, and they are making effort to achieve this. They are making effort. In a country, in a non-Muslim country, that is the historically hostile to the Islamic countries, you see that. They just established TVs, they launched TV networks, and they hold debate on Sunnism and Shiism in a European countries TV networks. They invite the Sunnis and Shias and ask them to have a debate on the TVs. Why? What is the intention? A Christian country, a colonial country with a black record, holds debates on Sunnism and Shiism. Why? Do they want to shed light on truth? They want during the do they want to realize the truth through debate or through these talks and debates? They want to fan the flames of differences. While some mistakes may happen by some of those who are debating, they add fuel to the differences, to the fire of differences. These should bring us to our senses. We have to be conscious and wakeful. Shia has a strong logic, and the argumentation of the Shia theologians and jurisprudence about Shiism are just very strong. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that in the world of Shiism, we start accusing the opponents or insulting the opponents or creating hostility with them. And they also on the other side do the same thing, and then it leads to conflict. I am aware today, and in the past I was aware, that they are spending money. Huge monies are spent to write books containing insults against one group, and the other group writing books containing insults and accusation against the other group. And the money is paid by one center. The money for publication of both the books are spent by the same pocket. Aren't they alarming? We have to pay attention to these points. Today, with the grace of the wilaya of Imam Ali, and in his great name, and by assisting, by seeking assistance from his soul, I mention this so that I emphasize on what our late Imam have been insisting, and I have been insisting. Please bear in mind that some people should not think that they are defending Shiism and conceive that defending Shiism is just by fanning the flames of anti-Shiism. It is not defense of Shiism. It is not defense of Wilaya. If, in fact, it is defending the United States, it is defending the Zionists, logical argumentation is absolutely all right. Write books. Our ulama have written books. Today also they are writing, and let them write. In principles, secondary principles, and many problems, we have independent Shia argumentation. Just argue them. And when there are differences, argue them logically, no problem. But it is different from insulting, accusation, and creating hostility. You have to be mindful. Oh Lord, swear by Muhammad and his prophet and his progeny, make us aware, and do not detach us from Imam Ali. The same struggle, virtue, and sincerity that he had, grant to us and to the Islamic Ummah. Oh God, acquaint us with the wilaya of Imam Ali and keep us alive, and let's die with his wilaya, and make the Imam of the time happy with all of us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.